No, I'm not. Am I on? You guys can hear me? Okay. For real? I mean, it's like amplified on. Now I'm on. I can hear myself now. You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
You know, this past week, it was kind of big on American news anyway. The two journalists that kind of were in North Korea, and they were kind of like, I don't know what they were doing, but they kind of got withheld for a little while. Right? It was in North Korea. Is that right? And when they came back, I remember just that moment where one of them hugs her family. She kind of gets low, and she's hugging her child and her husband. The other one, Lisa Ling's sister, she's hugging her family. And I just thought about, you know, when that point, when you recognize that you have felt like a period of your life that you've been imprisoned, that you've not been free, and in that moment when you're liberated, and what they experience in the natural is really what many of us have experienced spiritually. I mean, I can remember my teenage years being imprisoned, if you will, by immoral behavior, by decisions I had made that really were obsessions, addictions that I don't really need to go into great detail here. But I just remember the moment on college campus at the University of Pacific in Stockton, California, when I heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I responded. I said, yes. And, you know, my understanding is that Bill Clinton went over there, but the truth be told, again, this is not a political statement, pro or con Bill Clinton, but really a lot of the footwork had already been done. He went over there because they had already set up the groundwork that pretty much he showed up and said, this is what we'll agree to, whatever that was. Hey, let these girls go. And they went. But I remember the day that Jesus Christ came, and he was the one that didn't just negotiate my freedom. He declared my freedom. And the things that I was bound in, the things that I wasn't free in. And I don't believe I'm the only one. I think there are people right here. You can remember when you were bound, you were mad at folks, some of you. Some of you, you know, activities, you didn't feel free, but you are free. They hugged their people and they were excited. And so let's stand up. And someone greater than Sean Smith, someone greater than Bill Clinton came and rescued. His name is Jesus Christ. Let's give an ovation right now for the ultimate negotiator. He didn't negotiate. He administrated. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy. We love you, Jesus. Come on. You're worthy. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Yes. All right. Turn to someone. Give them a quick high five. Give them a quick handshake. Come on, turn to someone, give them a high five, a handshake, or a hug, whatever's appropriate. You may be seated. You have a Bible, go to Exodus 4 if you got a Bible. It's so good to see you guys, man. I smile because this is my third time coming and being with you guys. The last two times I've come here, but then we've gone and over to the conference. And you guys are like family to me. Some of you I'm new to you. You're not new. I'm new to you. And so I just want you to know that even though we've not maybe previously met, I feel like family. This feels like so relaxed for me in a good way. And my family was not able to make it, though I got a brother in the Lord. It's like a brother to me. But my wife, Barb, I talked to her on the phone. Precious sister, let me borrow her phone. She's over here. And thanks for letting me borrow your phone. Call my wife in between. She says, you make sure, Dave, to tell them how much I love them. So my wife loves you guys, and she's doing well. She started a part-time job, so she only has so much vacation time. So we went as a family to Florida and did ministry, and then drove from there to Alabama to do more ministry. And then later on this year, we're going to the UK to do some ministry. So that's her entire vacation time, especially as a part-time person. So she was bummed she wasn't able to come. But she sends her love. I'm a dad of two teenagers. My oldest, Brandon, is in college now at the University of California, Berkeley. He's in summer school right now, even though he graduated in May. So he's a 09, class of 09 high school. But he's at Berkeley, and man, it was a dream come true for him and us. He's on a basketball scholarship at the University of California, Berkeley. So that is like, I sign what the amount of money is just for this year alone, not counting summer. So summer school he's in with room and board and everything is about $6,000, $7,000. But his school year is like $23,880. So like $30,000 this year would be paid for. God is good, somebody. Come on. And $30,000 more dollars to be used for the kingdom is a lot of money. Multiply it times four. But really, it's his dream. He really wants to stand for God amongst the athletic and as all over the world, man. Athletes, people in the media, people in Hollywood or motion pictures or music. They're given this almost surreal platform into a generation's life. And so he wants to be an athlete that represents Jesus, and he has done that. I might tell you guys some stories later on. But also, I'm a father of a teenage girl who's a senior in high school, my daughter Brittany. She's driving now, so y'all stretch hands and pray for me right now. I need. She loves the Lord. She's at a Christian school, and she's part of chapel leadership at her school. Stands for God. Loves to pray for her friends, intercessor, one of the most loyal friends you'll have. She is a basketball player, but she is like entrepreneur. You know, she's on eBay. She's made like hundreds of dollars buying stuff and selling it on eBay. So she's a future, you know, entrepreneur, you know, woman of God. And she's awesome. So I am blessed to have a family. So when you see me here, I'm representing some other folks with me. I've got Kurt Dunaway with me. Kurt is a mighty man of God. We've known each other for over a decade. His family and my family are very close. We actually happen to go to the same local fellowship, New Life Church, we go to. He is one of the worship leaders. And so next Sunday, for those of you guys who are here, are going to get a treat. But he went through a dry season, right? And he says in Luke 4:1, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. But verse 14 says he came out in the power of the Spirit. I believe that wilderness seasons are strategic in our lives. So if you feel like you're going through a dry spell, it might be God. But your wilderness has a coming out party. And the coming out party is that you would come out in power. So this is kind of a 2-CD teaching on how to negotiate that wilderness and to get the most out of it. The worst thing to ever do is to wander in your wilderness. Israel typifies that. You don't want to wander. You want to be strategically in. Allow God to create in you a deeper cry, a deeper desire, a greater focus on that desire for the Lord, and come out in power. So we've got that, and I believe that encouraged. We've got our 4-CD set called School of Healing. It's I did this War Cry School. I did A to Z teaching on healing. I used to pray for the sick, and I wasn't seeing enough sick people get well, so I tell people, I had a healing ministry that made me sick. You know, I don't know if you ever had that where you pray for folks and they get worse. You know what I'm saying? Like you have the inverse healing gift. You know, they're supposed to get better, but you pray for them, they start sneezing more. You start sneezing. Instead of them getting what you got, you get what they got. Come on, somebody. You know, never mind. All right. We got Luke 9:1-2. But basically, if you want to see a greater effectiveness in praying for the sick, or if you yourself are battling a condition and you want healing, I believe there's some great stuff on here. It's called School of Healing, Receiving and Releasing Christ's Touch. This is brand new. I didn't have this last time I was here. And then we've got our books, but Epic Lifestyle is this. Best way I could tell you about it, and it's got a DVD in back, too, that you can see it. It's about recognizing the fingerprints of God on situations in the marketplace. If you can recognize the fingerprints of God, that look, you know, you recognize, you're looking. That is an invitation and an enablement that unlocks a miracle. If I can recognize the fingerprint of God on a conversation, then I know this person is going to get something from God. I jump in on that conversation excited about it. If I know I'm not supposed to go to this Starbucks, but I recognize the finger of God as I stop the taxi cab or the driver or get off the bus and go to that Starbucks because I have an appointment that somebody's walked in blind and somebody's going to walk out able to see. Now, that just sounds like a nice little theoretical. I know a girl, and these are college students, that walked into a Starbucks in California and sat with a person they had never met before who was blind in one eye, prayed for this person. That person could see. So I'm telling you, this happens, man. So we've got this book, and we got that back there and some other things. I won't take too much time. All right, you guys ready? Pastor Sam Song, I have known him. You guys have the most phenomenal pastor. In one sense, I'm so glad he would trust me, because if you're visiting, Pastor Sam Song is just awesome. He's a lead pastor here. And Pastor Sam Kim is off the hook, too. You know, it's kind of like, that's teenage talk for he's a nice guy, right? He is such, I just appreciate his humility. I appreciate his servant's heart. And I said that he and his wife both, they're authentic people. They really love Jesus. And when you get around them, you could feel that love. And the love of God changes you, right? All right. Exodus 4, we'll start reading at verse 1 if you're there. It says, then Moses answered and said,
But suppose they would not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, that would be Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. No, not a rod like Alexander Rodriguez, but you know what I'm saying. A rod, literally. I said that, a rod. No, it's a rod. There we go. What's that in your hand? A rod. All right, there we go. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. That's a funny scene right there, all right? This dude is called to bring deliverance to a nation, and he's running from a stray reptile. That's humorous to me. God shows us the funny parts. I like that. It says, you guys still with me, right? Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, the hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again, and drew out his bosom, and behold, it was restored like other flesh. We are in a time where technology, I don't know about you, technology is blowing me away. I mean, this thing of Skype, you know, isn't that cool that you could, like, I'm a Skype my wife, you know, and you guys know what Skype is. That sounds like something bad. I'm a Skype my wife, you know. But it's amazing to me. I can see her on my computer that is connected to a Wi-Fi system, so there's no wires connecting it to anything around me. And my wife is sitting at home in San Ramon, California, and she's looking at it, and we're talking to each other live off computer, stuff in the air. And it's just like, that is an amazing discovery, right? How many of you know? I mean, there's an amazing discovery. I mean, I'm always amazed at the least little discoveries that maybe years ago your parents would have looked at and thought, there's no way they're going to do stuff like that. That's crazy. One person actually said, if a human being went faster than 35 miles an hour, they would die. That obviously was not the person that invented the car. He believed differently, right? Because your belief system will reflect your discoveries. You guys with me, right? Your belief system is a reflection of your discoveries. The most amazing discovery anyone will ever have is the discovery of why you're here, what God has put inside of you, and what it's going to take to release it on your generation. That is the most amazing discovery. More amazing than any technological breakthrough. More amazing than any piece of, you know, new equipment, new latest iPod, whatever it is. The greatest discovery is why you were. You'd be amazed as to how many people walk around you every single day. They don't know why they're here. So their purpose becomes to make a dollar. Their purpose becomes to look the best, to beat the other person in whatever it is. And that is their entire life because they have no purpose as to why they were placed here. And when you don't have a purpose, the natural propensity of your life is to wander. You wander, you stumble into things, and so the discovery of why you're here, what God put inside of you, and how to let it go, that becomes the beginning, let me use the word, of a new era in anyone's life. Hold that thought for a second. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we were in Chico, we started campus ministry there. College students started giving their life to the Lord. Chico State is California State School. It's in Chico, California, north of Sacramento, probably a good another hour and a half north between Chico, between Sacramento and Redding. And we started to see people come to know the Lord. This one guy I led to the Lord wanted to be a neo-Nazi white supremacist. True, he had joined a small group of racial supremacists. And I got a chance to lead this dude to the Lord. I mean, you know, God got a sense of humor, man, you know. This dude wants to be a neo-Nazi white supremacist, and this black man leads him to the Lord. That's God, man. Look out. So, and I got a Mexican wife, too, on top of that. So we started seeing people. That's true. I lived with the Lord in our house, in our little apartment, man. Here I'm praying over my wife. I just think, man, you know, God's got a sense of humor. So we had this other girl, Denise. She came to know the Lord. She had a boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a big old guy. He was a tight end on the football team. And I was extra big. He was more of the blocking lineman. Some linemen are a little more swelt, and they kind of go out for passes, and they're kind of the glamour guy. Not this guy. This guy is just wall-to-wall Neanderthal. That's what this guy is, right? So when she gave her life to the Lord, their relationship, we're adults, their relationship was immoral.
God came into her life and began to speak to her that that was wrong to be involved with the guy in immorality the way they were. So, I didn't tell her this. The Word of God told her this. She goes back to her boyfriend and says, you know what? I can't be with you like that anymore. That's going to have to stop. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. We're not going to do this. And so she was young in the Lord. She didn't really know how to tell him. So she says, this dude, this is my pastor, my campus pastor, he tells me, we're all adults, I shouldn't be sleeping with you. Okay, now we're adults. I got that out. Is that all right? But I'm thinking, that's not true. I didn't tell her that. The Word of God told her that, right? And that's good. I mean, I don't mind telling her that. But it was even greater that the Holy Spirit began to do that work of conviction. And she started to discover that her life wasn't about going from one guy's arms to the next guy's arms. Come on, somebody. To the next party, meeting the next dude and trying to be with him. That she had a purpose and she wanted to set herself apart. One of the things that discovering your purpose does is it helps you have energy behind your no and behind your yes. What you're saying yes to, you're doing it for the purpose. What you say no to is that, you know, I got a higher purpose. So this is the backdrop. So, but this dude doesn't know the Lord. He's mad. All he knows is there's some dude, and as a result of you, my girlfriend ain't with me like that no more. And so somehow she gives him my number. I don't know what she's thinking. Girl, what are you thinking, right? I don't know. Maybe she thought this dude was going to come and give his life to the Lord too. But no, he's mad. He calls my house and he said, are you Sean Smith? And it's like, it depends on who's asking. He said, hey. And he told me his name. And he said, hey, my girlfriend Denise, man, I just want you to know, man, whatever you said to her, she broke up with me. He's mad. I can feel the hostility coming across the line, right? And he says, man, she's not going to be with me like that anymore, man. I just need to talk to you. No, in fact, I need to see you right now. And I'm like, I don't think we can do that right now. I'm looking through my Franklin planner. I don't think Franklin planned on this. We're going to have to meet some, you know. And so I knew I had to meet with this guy. So I thought, if I meet with him out in public, he's big and he's angry, he might jump me. So I don't know what I thought. I thought, if I bring him to my house, maybe it'll personalize it. He'll see, you know, we had a little church parsonage. A church we're at had a little bit of, like a little townhouse. They let us stay there as support because we were campus missionaries. I thought, he'll see my wife. She's pregnant with my son, Brandon. She'd come out and he'd see the maternal glow of my wife. This is my wife. That baby's counting on my livelihood in her womb. If you kill me, that baby will not be able to eat, you know. So I thought, so I gave this dude my address, but right after I did it, it was like, dumb. He knows where you live. He can really do something scary now. So I go to my prayer room, and I'm walking around. Our prayer room is about to be Brandon's room, but before Brandon came, it was my prayer room. So I'm walking around my prayer room, and I'm saying, God, you know, Lord, you're going to have to do something. This dude is mad. He's going to come jump me. This is not good, God. And so I'm walking around like this, right? Now, what I'm talking to you about is this thing, and this is what I want to talk to you about coming into a new era. The word era, and I'm going to continue this story in a second. The word era literally means, okay, you ready for this? The starting point of an age, number one, if you're taking notes, an era, E-R-A, the starting point of an age. But number two, it's a period of time characterized by particular events and unique people. I want to emphasize the second definition. Let me repeat it. An era, number one, a starting point of an age. We know there was the era of, you know, I don't know, the Industrial Revolution was an era, right? The Elizabethan age was an era. There are eras. We're in an era right now. The second of all, the word era is a period of time characterized by particular events or distinct people or unique people. That an era could literally be a period of time where unique people come on the scene. That this is an era. SP, you're an era to Hong Kong. Come on, I got an amen right here, right up front. I love that amen. Starting point of an age, but it is a period of time characterized by particular events and a distinct people. That God has put you in this season. Ephesians 2:10 says you're the workmanship of God. That God prepared beforehand good works that you should walk in them. That God creates you to initiate an era. I want to talk to you about era men. I should just tell you now, right? era. Experience the burn, receive the power, activate the transformation. That's what we're going to go with this era thing. So I already spilled it out, right? Experience the burn, receive the power, activate the transformation. What God is really getting this thing towards is that God is the ultimate transformer. How many of you saw that movie this summer that came out, The Transformer? When I was a kid, we didn't have Transformer. It kind of came a little bit later because I'm a middle-aged man. But I must admit, when Transformers came out, I was kind of watching some of their little shows and reading them. That's cool, man. I mean, Transformer, right? Little car, right? And you, and it just like, go, go, go bot, you know, or something like that, man. And all of a sudden, it changes to like this huge, massive, like, you know, terrestrial robot. I don't know, extraterrestrial robot. I don't know what else to call it. But God created you to be a transformer. That someone may look at you and you just look like a normal person, even though you guys don't look normal, you know what I'm saying? You guys look like above normal. You guys are an extra good-looking group. You guys are following me there. I cleaned that up like that, you know. But God wants to put something on you where you're not meets the eye. That's what a transformer, that car, Bumblebee or whatever it was, or the Megawattron, I don't know what it was. They're not what they are, what they seem to be. They can change and become bigger than the moment. God has put something in you to make you bigger than the moment. Okay, now let me get back to my story. This dude comes over my house, knocks on the door. He's bigger in person than the way I had seen him from a distance. I'd seen this guy. He's huge, man. I mean, he's big, right? And he said, "You're Sean?" "Yeah." And I kind of extended out my hand. He kind of like looked at my hand a little bit, and he kind of gave me a grip. But when he started squeezing my knuckles, he went crunch, 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 crunch. I went, "Oh, this is not good. He's already hurting me. Not good, Jesus." You know, because I said, "This is my pregnant wife, Barbara, right here." You know, and so he comes in. He said, "Can we talk?" He wanted to, you know, pass the pleasantries. I brought him in my prayer room because I thought that was the most anointed spot in the house. I need the anointing of God, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This guy, bring him in the room. And he said, "Man, I just want to be honest with you why I came over here, man. I'm mad." And so I'm like, "Ooh, not good. Hostility. Ooh, you know." And he just begins to go in. How mad he is that his girlfriend now has found God and she's not going to be immoral like that. And he says, "I'm angry. In fact, I'm angry at you." And he leans over. You ever been around someone you could feel intimidation coming off them? I could feel it. And all of a sudden, in that moment, something shifts, and I recognize the transforming power of God. He goes from being so angry at life, at me, because she identified me as being the reason why, and all of a sudden shifts, and I begin to get this word to speak into his life about a situation that happened in his life. This guy ends up weeping, big old football player, crying in my townhouse. He gives his life to Jesus. He came over. He told me later, "I came over your house to jack you." That's a nice way of saying he was going to come beat me up. But he ends up getting hijacked by God. Hello, somebody. And I thought about this ability to transform. And this is really what I'm going to talk to you about. Let's jump right in this. Exodus 4 is about this thing. This thing of being transformation, bringing transformation is why God has put you together, SP. Reason why you're here. Reason why you're visiting. You're in this service. There's no coincidence. Coincidence is not in heaven's dictionary. You're here because of a Holy Ghost subpoena that brought you here. That God wants to speak to you. That God is interested in changing stuff. So here's Moses. You ever felt inadequate? How many of you ever felt inadequate? How many of you, leave your hand up. How many of you felt inadequate? Okay. If your hand is still down, how many of you ever felt, if you didn't feel inadequate, how many of you ever felt inferior? Lift up your hand if your hand is down. How many of you ever felt insufficient before? That's the lightest in your hand. Okay, that should be everybody. Your hand's not up. We will worship you too. Come on up here. Right after the cross, it'll be you. You must be omnipotent. No. Moses felt that way. Moses, who is going to lead the greatest reformation of the Old Testament, the man gives birth to a nation by the power of God. The man with a stick negotiates the greatest release of hostages of all time. 2 million people out of 400 years, four centuries of bondage. The Hebrews were in four centuries of bondage under Pharaoh and the Egyptian people. And Moses with a stick, not
backed up by economic, you know, whatever they do. Like, if you don't do this economically, we won't trade with you. Or we're bigger than you. We're going to drop bombs on you. Or we could drop bombs. We're going to impose economic sanctions. I guess that's the term. The guy goes in with a stick. But here's Moses standing in front of Pharaoh and said, let my people go. God meets Moses for the first time. If you're going to bring about transformation, it begins with the E of era, my 3 points. You must first experience the burn. The first thing that God does when he's bringing about a revolutionary, when God is bringing about and creating a new breed of revolutionaries, and we're talking about spiritual revolutionaries that bring about transformation, is he first causes you to experience a new flame. The first thing, Moses minding his own business, you know, just walking through the wilderness, all of a sudden he sees a bush on fire. Well, there are many bushes that look like that, and there might have been, the term is spontaneous combustion, you guys know that. There might have been spontaneous combustion, but the only thing is, the bush went from spontaneous combustion to spontaneous conversation. That's a different deal, right? When a bush talks to you, you need to stop and hear what it has to say, right? The bush is going, Moses, Moses, Moses. So the Bible says, in, if you want to follow this, this is in Exodus 3, about verse 2 and 3. Moses said, I would turn aside to see this great sight. Why? The bush is on fire, right? But there's no waste, no ashes, no smoke. That's not normal, right? You light something on fire, we were to light a piece of paper on fire, there would be waste, ashes, smoke. This bush has a fuelless fire on it. The fire is supernatural. All fire, we know, devours. It needs fuel. Fires eat up stuff, right? It'll burn your house up. It'll burn a log up. It'll burn your barbecue up if you don't know how to barbecue right. That's happened to me, by the way, right? He's looking at this thing, and when you first walk over to the fire, you're experiencing the burn. God is calling his people to come and draw near his fire. He's released a flame. I'm seeing it. All over the United States and other portions of the world that I'm getting a chance to go to. People, believers, all over the nations of the world are experiencing the burn. God wants you to experience his flame. When I say experience the burn, once you experience the God who is a flaming fire, that releases a passion inside of you and something that burns. It's a desire to go deeper with God. It's a heart that wants to see other people's lives impacted by the goodness of what you've been impacted by. It's something that says, I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want a God-invaded life. That's a big difference. God didn't save you if you've come to know the Lord. If not, we'll give you opportunity. He didn't save you for you to come and sit in a chair and sit down and stand up and drop a buck in the plate and walk back out and sing a couple songs and that's it. That your Christian experience ought to be something more than that. Nothing wrong with that. It's only wrong if that is your high watermark. These guys wave at me if you caught that. Okay, you're with me. All right, 3-5 people caught that. That's good. That's good. Rest of you, you know. And so he's experiencing the burn. Now, notice this, and I think this is important, right? He says, verse 4, Exodus 3, so when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses had to first begin to give attention to what God was doing in his day, and through it, God spoke to him. Moses had to first turn and give attention to what God was doing in his day, and that began to speak to him. God began to speak to him. I think it's so important that many times when God does something out of the ordinary in our lives, the thing you can't do is run from it. Later on, Moses is going to run. We're going to talk. But right now, he's drawn to this. So when he's drawn to the fire, every move of God produces a draw. Somebody say draw. A response to a draw of God, or any draw, and I'll prove it to you, releases atmosphere. If you're not understanding what I'm saying, I will explain. Anytime the Spirit of God releases an invitation, that's called a draw. Whenever God releases a draw to his people, and you respond to God drawing you close to him, drawing you into prayer, drawing you into seeking his face, drawing you into a fast, drawing you into a missions trip, drawing you into giving, drawing you into knowing him like you've never known him before. A response to a draw releases atmosphere. The bush is drawing Moses. It's normal
wilderness of Midian. Midian is the name of the area he was at. He was on the backside of Midian, working for his father-in-law in a sheep herding business, basically. He's drawn to the fire. As he responds to the draw, it becomes holy ground. God says to him, "Amen, take off your shoes, your sandals," right? He didn't have on some nice Converse or whatever. "Take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground." God being there made it holy, but him drawing towards it caused that to go from normal ground to holy ground. Whenever you respond to a draw of God, it changes atmosphere. That's why when God's drawing you to pray, you ought to pray. When God is drawing you to share his love with someone over there, you need to do that, because a response to a draw changes atmospheres. It works the other way around. If the enemy tempts you, he's drawing you towards a sin, drawing you towards a transgression, your response to that also changes atmospheres. I don't know how many times I've talked to college age, because I've spent, and still do, many years, but for 10 years I directed campus ministries. And so college age, career age, is really the age group that I found myself most comfortable with in ministering, especially in my early ages. That was the demographic. Many times I'd be with two kids, and they had fallen morally into sexual sin, and they said how the relationship was all great, but the moment they crossed that line, they immediately both felt in that room this thing, this kind of like stain, this kind of, man, we knew it wasn't right and everything. What they're saying is when they responded to the draw of sexual immorality, it can also change atmosphere. You get enough people, let's just say in Hong Kong, responding to a draw of whatever. Let's say responding to a draw of alcoholism, responding to a draw of kind of stuff that isn't right in terms of business deals, or drawn towards impurity. If enough people respond to the draw, that alters atmosphere. But if you have people who are drawing near to God in Hong Kong, it also can change atmospheres. When you draw near to fire to experience the burn, it alters geography around you. How many, did I explain that a little bit better? You still with me? Okay, all right, you guys stay with me. I'm gonna move quick, I'm gonna shock you. Number two, the R of era. I told you, A, experience the burn. Two is you gotta receive the power. If you're gonna bring about, you're gonna be a transformer, right? You're gonna be a transformer. You not only have to experience the burn, and that's big. I could almost do a whole talk on that, right? Because there really ought to be something. If what I believe isn't releasing passion in my heart, I need to check what I believe. Or do I really truly believe what I say I believe? Because if you really believe God, there ought to be a fire. My desire is that my heart is aflame. It's just engulfed with flame. And on that day, I want to present to my Jesus, if I could reach in and take my heart out to the Lord, I want my heart to be white, hot, burning with passion even more than the day I first met it. Your fire shouldn't dwindle the longer you're serving the Lord. There ought to be a fire in your heart that ought to have consumed you more than the day you first said yes to Jesus. Somebody came to you and said, "Hey man, the day I loved my wife, the day we got married, I loved my wife the most. And man, my wife and I, we've been married 19 and a half years. I love her a little bit less now." How many of you know that's the wrong way in your relationship, friend? You ought to love your spouse more today than you did the day you said, I do. If not, then you John and Kate plus eight, but it's no longer John and Kate plus eight. It's just John over here, Kate over here, and the eight kids looking where's my mommy and daddy. You know what I'm saying? Or, and again, I'm not taking a dig on them. Somebody's like, no, I'm not taking a dig. I'm saying that's what the devil does to folks, right? We don't want to be them people. We want to pray for them, but we want God to keep marriages together. So what do? We grow in our passion, right? All right, now the R, receive the power. Here's Moses saying, "Okay, God, this is the assignment you've given me. Change Hong Kong." See a spiritual revolution take place in the Asiatic nations and the nations of the world. Bring a generation to the tipping point as catalysts of a new breed, of a new move of God, as they're a new breed of revivalists. See signs and wonders in the street. Have such the heart of Jesus that, man, literally tears could well up in your eyes when you see the need of the world, that the sex trade trafficking of the world would anger your heart, that there are orphans that are left either because of disease or because of sin, and people don't want to own up to the relationship or own up to the responsibility of their sin. That ought to grieve us. The proof that you're close to God is you think what God thinks and you're grieved over what God is grieved over. So here is the thing. God says to Moses, all right, Moses. Moses said, what if I go before Pharaoh? Because God tells Pharaoh, God tells Moses, I want you to stand in front of Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses is thinking, okay, you Moses, what are you thinking? You're going to stand in front of the greatest military tyrant, a man that came as close to world domination as any god has ever lived on the planet, Pharaoh, right? They engulf nations. And Moses is thinking, you want me to walk over to this dude and tell him I'm going to abolish slavery and give birth to a nation of people. Okay, God, how is this going to happen? Okay, you follow me. Exodus 4. But Moses answered, said, but so, suppose he won't listen to me, or suppose he won't believe me, listen to me. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So Moses said to him, what is that in your hand? He says, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So here is the answer. Moses said, all right, I'm going to go before Pharaoh. God, what you going to give me, right? I know God is going to be millenniums before they're going to develop, you know, atomic nuclear weaponry, but you're going to give me some nuclear weaponry of the future, right? I'm going to walk in there with some serious thing that they've never seen before. Their mouth is going to drop. And God says, what's that in your hand? A stick. All right, I want you to go in there with that stick. And Moses think, what am I going to do? Hit the man? Let God's people go right now. You know, this isn't an ordinary stick. It's a rod, but he's about to move from the E, experience the burn, to receive the power. God says, all right, that rod is in your hand, throw it on the ground. Sometimes you have to let go of something into the will of God for it to be empowered to walk out the plan that God has given you. There's certain things, maybe it's your mind, and you've got a great mind, but until you lay that thing down, throw it down for God's glory, that you can pick it up and have redeemed intelligence. How many of you know redeemed intelligence is greater than intellectualism? The mind of Christ, and I know there's some great intellect in this room, but I'm telling you, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God, is way above the smartest person in this room. And I know we got some Mensa Genius Society folks in this room, but I'm telling you, one thought from God can blow away the discoveries and the researches of men that are, and women that have taken centuries to put together. One thought from God. But it's a principle that you have to yield to God. In order to receive power, it is often an exchange. You have to let go of the stuff that you believe as a result of these things, I'm powerful. You have to let go of that to grab on. A rod to Moses, they said, was not just a walking stick. It was not just a stick used to beat off stray predators that would come in his sheep. A rod literally, and you would find this from kind of a customs book of the Bible, that shepherds would journal symbols on their rod that, if you will, it was like their journal. It was like their life journal. And God is saying that you need to let go of your life for it to be empowered. That whoever tries to keep his life, Jesus said, will lose it. But who lays down his life will have life eternal, basically. Or hate his life, which is really yield and give it to the Lord. So here's now this thing of receive the power. Moses throws a rod on the ground. It becomes a serpent. Now you guys still with me, right? He throws it on the ground. It becomes a serpent. And I love this, because I think this is so important. Moses ran from a serpent. Here's a guy that's going to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go, and a rod becomes a little snake on the ground, and the guy is running in terror behind the closest bush. How often are we called to release signs and wonders, supernatural power, influence nations, but we become uncomfortable with what God releases in our life? God released that serpent. How many of you understand that? When that rod hit the ground, that was not the devil. That was God. God said, throw it down. It became a serpent. So often we're uncomfortable with what God releases. We run from it, not knowing that you can't run from what you're called to run to. Here's the way I want to break it down again, because I know it's the afternoon session now, man, you know, church. Some of us put God in a box that if God moves a certain way, we're there, we're okay with it. But when God does things outside of our box and we're not comfortable with it, we run from it and we're afraid of it, when in fact that's there for you to experience so that you can be empowered and receive something God's trying to give you. I remember, man, First time for me, man, I went to this group, and man, people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God had given them this glorious spiritual language and praying this language, and I was like, whoa, what's going on, man? And then I just watched them, and the longer I watched them, I saw they loved the Lord. I saw that they witnessed and told people about Jesus like no one had ever seen a group I'd never been around. They really walked what they were talking about. And I go, there must be something to it. What I initially ran from, I recognized I was called to pick up. And I believe that's for so many people. First time you see people gather up, maybe if you're visiting, you saw these people gather around them and pray. And that might be something like, whoa, that's just a little bit too forward for me, Sean, you know, like that. And I'm thinking, you know what? When I was in the world and I didn't know Jesus, there was all kind of dumb stuff we did then. I should have been running from it. I didn't run from it. And then you come in the house of God and all of a sudden, it's because it's new and it's because it's different. If you only run to what you're already comfortable with, you'll never grow in the things of God. What I think God would have had him do is once it became a rod, at least observe it for a while. Don't run from it. Watch it for a second. Because he obviously had to come back because God says, I want you to take the serpent by the tail. Now, anybody handle snakes? Anybody here handle snakes? All right. No, you weren't lifting your hand, right? You just kind of had your hand. You handle snakes, right? All right. Crocodile Hunter, back in the day, when he handled snakes, he'd let you know, for the most part, you grab him by the head. Why? You take a serpent by the tail, it could whip around and bite you. Reason why Moses ran from it, that dude has been around the wilderness a little bit. That was probably a poisonous snake, right? God says, I want you to take the serpent by the tail. Moses reaches down and defies the serpent. In order to bring transformation, we need folks that's going to defy the serpent. How many of you know what I'm saying? We need some people that the devil says, you're not going to do that, not in your workplace, not amongst your social network of friends. You're not going to make a stand for God like that. You're not going to tell anyone about your faith. You're not going to ever go beyond the norm. If you do give your life to the Lord, you're just going to be a normal status quo Christian. You're not really going to get on fire. You're not going to receive power. You're not going to activate transformation. You're just going to be a nominal Christian. You have to defy the serpent because the serpent is defying your destiny. To take a serpent by the tail is to say, snake, you can't hurt me. You can't stop me. If you're in my path, I'm going to pick you up. And when he picked up the serpent became a rod. Conquered serpents become rods of authority in your hand. If you run from it, you're running from new authority that God wants to release in your life. You guys with me? Come on, nod your head. This is a smile break. Everybody smile right now. Touch your neighbor and say, this is for you. Come on, just shake him a little bit. Say, this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. Here is God's response when Moses had three difficulties. What was his three difficulties? Let's review this before we go to our last point. They won't believe this. This is Sean Smith paraphrase. They won't believe this. They won't listen to me. They will doubt my testimony. Right? That's what it says. Exodus 4:1. But what if they said they won't believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say the Lord has not appear to you. Moses is expressing three difficulties that we have when we say, God, you're sending me to share God with someone. You're sending me to share the Lord. What if they won't believe this? What if they won't listen to me? What if they doubt my testimony? What was God's response? I'm going to put power in your grasp. He didn't take this big old white cloud with a P-O-W-E-R and hand it to Moses and say, you got power. His power was, he had to move towards something that God released that he was uncomfortable with. He had to take and defy the serpent, take it by the tail. And when he lifted it up, it became the rod of power and authority. Some of the battles that you're going through right now, you don't know it is an answer to prayer. You prayed them battles in your life. Now, no, you don't think you prayed them battles in your life, but you said, God, I want to be closer to you. Lord, I want to see my friends, family, network, associates, business. I want to see people come to know the Lord. I want to hear your voice. God, I want to be used by you. And what happens? You get some snakes in your path. But conquered serpents become new rods of authority. Moses is closer to God because he had an experience of transformation. If God can transform that into this, then you have faith that causes momentum in your life. So now he's getting ready to go. Now, here is this thing. God, of course, I love that. He said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground. I think this is what this speaks to me. God is always looking to impact geography. Strike the ground with the rod. There used to be a superhero when I was young called Thor. Now, I'm in my 40s. Thor, I don't know what they do with Thor now, but he was just like a half man, half God dude. So the more I think about it, I think they was trying to copy the Bible, a little bit Jesus, right? But he had this stick. And when he would get like ready to go into the Thor, he was just a normal dude. He would take the stick, strike the ground, and it was like the ground would shake, lightning would come, boom, he would be
Thor, the lightning god dude, or something like that. And I said, ooh, that's bad. He's cool, man. I wish I had that stick. I'm convinced that every believer has that stick. Every believer has that stick in their hands. It's the stick of expectation. It's the stick of the authority of God, the rod of God in your life that God is calling you to strike the ground with, to impact around you, where it brings about transformation. This is what's going to happen to Moses. So you guys still with me, right? Here is this deal. The first stage of warfare is to change the atmosphere around where you work, live, or worship. That's what he's called to do. He picked up the serpent, became a rod, change atmosphere. The next thing, he stuck his hand in his bosom, which is kind of in his shirt. If I did stick it, all of a sudden my hand, leprosy. We got diseases today. Let me tell you what, leprosy, I mean, there's preventative, there's places in the world where they're not, maybe not getting that medicine quick enough. But that's something that, if it's caught in its early stages. But back in the day, you got leprosy with very rare exception. You died of it. It literally would eat away your skin and gnarl up, and just like your ear would fall off, your nose would fall off. And so for him to stick, this is Moses still, second trick right here. Sticks his hand in his shirt like, okay, God told me to do this. He pulls his hand back out. And he's looking at leprosy, man. That's like a bad horror movie right there, right? But the thing is, you can't run from this. This is you. It's following me, His hand. And so he's just thinking, oh, man, what's going on? And the Lord says, stick your hand back in. And, of course, you're going to do what God tells you to do, man. Stick his hand back in. And the Bible says his hand is restored. A person is going to bring about restoration not only understands how to win battles in their life and conquer serpents, but they learn God's power of restoration. God wants to restore innocence that people lost. God wants to restore their innocence back. Something that you lost, maybe growing up, God wants to restore that back to you. He wants to restore back the desire for life that somebody around you has lost, and maybe that's the reason why they're suicidal. He wants to restore back purity. Some girl doesn't think she'll ever be pure again, so that has fed a lifestyle. God wants to restore, but the message of restoration is truly ours. It's funny because false religions are trying to offer more hope than the people that have cornered the market on hope. The Bible says we have a hope that does not disappoint, as if to imply there are hopes out there given to folks that will lead to disappointment. We have a hope that does not disappoint, that your stuff looks leprous, but man, there is something that when you obey God and you pull that thing back out, you are restored back. And I'm telling you what, God's power to restore stuff is unbelievable. I've seen, man, I've seen girls who are prostitutes right now. You wouldn't get a, and I mean this in a real, true, pure sense, you wouldn't get a whiff of any uncleanness about some of these girls now because of how much Jesus is on them. You would be amazed. I know people that have come out of Satanism. I know a guy that's a campus pastor. I led this guy to the Lord that he told you then he was a practicing homosexual. And the guy right now has got a girlfriend. I remember he called me and told me the first time he had a girl crush. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm so excited with him, man, because I know his journey. I walked with him. I led him to the Lord. I discipled him. And I just think that is exactly the power of the gospel to pull it back out. And now it looks, and this is what happens when you follow in God. Third and final thing. I told you, experience the burn. The Lord is knocking on our hearts right now. Hear that knock? He's knocking on your heart. Experience the burn, receive the power, activate the transformation. Now, here is this next thing, because I feel that this is so important. Moses was told that he had to go to where Pharaoh's at. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to go to where Pharaoh's at? Pharaoh was required to come where we're at. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but it doesn't say all the world, go into all the churches and hear the gospel, right? We have to be the gospel and go where they're at. So here is Moses going on Pharaoh's home court, right? Literally, it's Pharaoh's court. It's his home. And he's standing there with his stick. He got a chance to bring his brother Aaron, right? Moses and Aaron. And he says, Pharaoh, God told me to tell you to let his people go. And he literally says, Moses was accurate. Pharaoh says, who is God and why should I listen to him? Like, who does God think he is? How many of you know people got audacity in the world, right? You do not spit in the wind going down the freeway 55 miles an hour because the spit will come back on you. You don't pull Superman's cape. You don't walk in South Central LA with a red rag down one pocket and a blue one down the other. Certain things in life you just don't do, right? You don't defy God like that. It's amazing how people live their lives in a way that kind of is the thumb up towards God, and you don't know your very next breath is in the heart of God. It doesn't matter how we saw in probably 1 week the funeral of about 4 or 5 major folks. You know, obviously Michael Jackson, Walter Cronkite, Farrah Fawcett Majors. For some of you that follow football, Steve McNair, a quarterback, was killed by his girlfriend as he was married to his wife, and obviously had an extracurricular affair. This dude, Billy Mays, that's a pitch man in America for all these like products. But wait, if you send in your money now, that kind of guy. And I mean, it was just like boom, 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 boom. Your next breath, no matter how popular, how good looking. And in my day, there was very few guys that didn't have a Farrah Fawcett. I remember them, their little swimsuit. I didn't have it on my wall, right? Very few guys. She was literally a sex symbol. Michael Jackson, oh my word. I mean, has there ever been a more popular singer in terms of selling records and albums as a solo artist? And yet you can have all of that, but your very next breath is in God's hands. That you want to honor the God that allows you to breathe another day. So here's Pharaoh saying, man, who is God and why should I let him go? Who is he? So Moses gives the nod and the wink to Aaron. And I think, as I read this, I believe that Moses thought this was going to do the trick. First time out. Throws it down and becomes a serpent. I can just see Moses sitting back smiling like, I'm bad. Don't mess with me, man. I got 3 other sticks. If I throw them down, and if I hit you with it, it's going to hurt, man. That's a conquered serpent rod. It's got something special on it, right? But Pharaoh's sorcerers, magicians, and all the rest of those guys, they were wise men, sorcerers, and magicians. They had taken evil to the limit to where literally they were able to do a stick-to-snake trick. Scholars believe that they were able to hypnotize a snake and the snake would get real stiff and they could do something to it and the snake would become unhypnotized and it would move. But nevertheless, they did what looked like a stick-to-snake trick. They're on the ground, right? And all of a sudden, it looks like a standoff. Here is what God wants, and I'm almost done. If I can get somebody to come up on the keyboards or the guitar, someone from the worship team. The court that God is sending you to requires credentials. It requires God credentials. Because what this whole passage is about is a credibility gap and credentials. Credibility gap and credentials. The credibility gap, why should they believe me? Why should anyone else hear what I have to say when I'm telling about the Lord? They got money. They got a nice car. They got a nice career. Everything else seems, why should they hear me? Why would they believe my testimony? But all of us don't realize that we've been given a rod by God to bring transformation. Like that dude that becomes Thor, God is waiting for you to cause that rod to strike the geography you're at that would cause reverberations and bring about a transformation. You don't realize how much influence you carry. You don't realize that the peace you have, someone else is looking at you and going, you're under the same pressures I'm under in our business. Why is it you're smiling and you're talking about God and that you can laugh while everyone else is literally like at wit's end? Why is it you're not angry? Everyone else is angry. We just lost some money in our investment. We lost this. And yet you got a peace and you're not angry. Why is it? Why is it when you smile? You notice when people, I hear this. I know everyone's hearing. I'm not anyone. They go, you have a great smile. And I don't think they're trying to say that I ought to be on People Magazine, most 50 secondest people in the world. That's not what they're saying. But I believe when I smile, Jesus looks out. They see an authentic, because we've seen enough fake smiles, right? You're called to bring transformation. You're called, if I could say, Lord, help me to say this right. The mistaken assumption of modern Christianity is it's just something to get us back up once we've fallen. Our Christianity begins with that. Christianity 101A is to get you back up once you've fallen. But the kingdom of God is about impacting the nations of the world. This Bible is about not like a high water mark of what Paul, Peter, the disciples, and them folks did in the book of Acts. That's the beginning level. That's kindergarten Christianity. We ought to have advanced on that. I don't know that we have, but Jesus said that before he returns, that it's going to be evident that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. In other words, what you're going to see in the last days is going to be by far distinct from what they saw then.
Here's what happens when you throw your rod down. You're going to be met with opposition. But you just hold tight. Because that rod that Moses threw down, that serpent, went over to the other serpents of those false magicians or gods or false, not false magicians, false spiritualists, and swallowed their serpents up. You ever see that movie, Ten Commandments? Anybody ever seen that movie? I don't know how they had the technology to do it. They did it then. And man, you just saw Moses' rod when it swallowed. One atmosphere swallows up another atmosphere when you've thrown the rod down. And that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to step out. This was another way of saying what I said first service. First service says only those who risk going too far find out how far they can really go. That's a quote from T.S. Eliot. Only those who risk going too far find out how far they can go. And God is calling us to a season of holy risk. We've been playing it too safe because we're afraid. And God is saying, throw it down. Throw it down. Throw down your rod. Where you at? Throw it down. You're on a college campus? Throw it down. You're in a workplace? Throw it down. I mean, obviously, we'll be judicial. We know that, hey, whoever it is, it's a good steward. They're paying us to do a job. We need to do that job. But there are going to be opportunities to talk to people at lunch, at a special meeting, a gathering where it's just one-on-one, one-on-two, whatever it is, and that we have to be light. We need to share with folks. We cannot hide this thing. A city upon a hill cannot be hidden. And I just feel like God just wants to take this thing to another level. Moses went down as one of the greatest reformers, if you will, revivalists, if you will, revolution. He impacted territories, but it all began with a fearful man that was willing to let go of what was in his hand. And when God transformed that, transformed him, he was able to transform a nation. I want you to do this, me this favor. Bow your heads right now. If your spirituality matters, this is the story. This is the cliff notes of Moses in a statement. If your spirituality matters, it matters most when the pressure's on. And that is where you're at right now. There's a pressure in Hong Kong. You feel it when I drive down. Even though we came in last night, you feel it when you drive past those major commerce buildings. You feel it when you walk past people. People are feeling a pressure here that's unique. People feel pressure in Northern California where I'm at. I'm by Silicon Valley. They feel pressure there. There's a business sector in San Francisco. I'm very close to there. Flew out of San Francisco. But there's a unique pressure people feel here. And if my spirituality, what I mean by that true spirituality is a belief in Jesus Christ. If my spirituality matters, it matters most when it's under pressure. I don't fade, I rise. Because Christ in me is the hope of glory. And the Lord is wanting to do something really, really, really mighty, really strong as it relates to that. Jesus, I thank you for your presence and invite you to come, Lord. I just believe that God, with this whole thing, God, you're calling us. And what is this? Really, the best way I could describe it is God is calling SP to be a culture of transformation. Because we've experienced the burn. We've received the power. Now it's time to activate. You got to throw that rod down in the marketplace. In Pharaoh's court, he activated the transformation. And that literally, that miracle, as well as some other miracles, would lead to Pharaoh letting God's people go and having to, in that, acknowledge that his God, Moses' God, was truly God. And it birthed the nation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Jesus, we invite you. Just come, Lord. Come, Father. And we just welcome you. We welcome you. And we just ask you to touch your people and to do something so mighty only you can receive the glory. Put a distinction between what a man can do and what God alone can do. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me begin here. We must have something outside of us far greater than us to achieve victory. Some people think that in order to achieve victory, they just need to have the right game plan. Well, if that game plan does not include Jesus Christ, the game plan is flawed and it will be defeated. We've seen it over and over again. If you could do it on your own, you would have done it by now. New Year's resolutions die hard at the beginning of the year. Most of them are, my health club I'm at is super crowded. January, February, around March, it goes back to normal. Because everyone that made New Year's resolution that did it by willpower are done. They're gone. They can't keep it going. Coming to Jesus Christ is not a self-made plan of change. It's not willpower. It's God's power. He loves you. The only thing that could rob this moment from being the moment of your life is for you in pride to say, I don't need God. I can do it on my own. If you didn't need God, he would have never sent his son. And if you could have done it on your own, you'd have done it by now. The Bible gives us a clue as to how to achieve victory. The Bible makes it very clear that everything that is born of God overcomes the world. It says it like this: whatever is born of God overcomes the world. In other words, if God conceives it, built into it is the ability to conquer, to bring victory. That's why God wants you to be born again, because whatever is birth of God rises up. It can't lie in defeat, because there's his spirit inside of it. His spirit rose up from the dead. If you're right now, you've been defeated, you've been feeling depressed, you've been feeling discouraged, or sometimes you're just feeling empty, you feel like you got more questions than you have answers, and there's a cry in your heart for relief, a relief that you've not known yet, it's a cry that God's put there for you to receive Jesus Christ. If you're here right now, you say, Sean, I'm not right with God. I don't know if I would have died where I'd go. I need this Jesus. I need to know my sins are forgiven. The smile of God upon the human heart is the ultimate human experience. You sleep better at night. Peace of God. We're so prescribed with meds to get to sleep and prescribed with meds to keep going once we're up that we don't realize that God and the love of God is the ultimate fuel that keeps you at rest and peace at night and up and going in the day. It's both. It is both. It is the stimulant and the sedative that is ultimately pure. People talk about going organic. You don't get any more organic than God. He's creative. If you're here right now, you say, Sean, I want this miracle, man. I'm tired of being made to hurt. I want Jesus, man. I want to know this peace you're talking about. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. I want to be changed. I want a relationship with God. If that's you right now, you've never prayed this prayer, or you one time prayed a prayer, but you've fallen away from God. I'm not asking you, have you ever been to church? I'm not asking if you own a Bible. I'm asking you, does your belief in Christ translate to your destiny unfolding before you, peace in your heart and victory over the devil? That's what Moses demonstrated in that passage. If that's not what you're experiencing, maybe what you have is a religion or a belief, but you do not have true faith in God. If you want to make that decision, you need to come back to God. You need to surrender your heart to God. If that's you, I want to pray with you. I want this moment to be the moment of your life, man. Sweetie, if that's you, wherever you're at right now, slip your hand up right now. Just slip it up. Say, Sean, pray with me. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Say, hey, I need to surrender my life to God. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? You, yes, need to come back to God. Yes, God bless you. Anyone, you say, hey, me too, clue me in a prayer. I one time prayed a prayer when I was young, but I walked away from God. I am walking back. Lift up your hand if that's you. I want to pray for you. Anybody else like that? I want all those that just lifted their hand, would you stand up right now? If your hand is lifted up, stand up. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. Don't think twice about it. You weren't the only one. I said about four or five hands went up. Just stand up if that's you. Stand up. If you brought somebody and it's kind of like, you know, you don't know, ask them right now. Just blame it on me. Say, this dude flew all across the Pacific. He wants me to ask you, do you want me to stand with you? I'll stand with you. Come on, if you brought somebody, just ask him. I'll stand with you if you want to make that decision. We don't force anyone. You don't have to serve God. You get to serve God. But when you do, he blesses you. Yeah, praise God. Somebody else do it. Come on, anybody else? With those who brought these, would you come with them and come up front? Would you come up front? If you came with somebody, can you step forward? Come on up, right up here. We want to pray with you. You can face me right here. Come on up front. Come on, you guys there, stand up. Come on up. Come on, come on. Don't sit back down. If you stood, step out. Come on up. This is a good thing, you guys. Come on. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. I just want to look at you guys and smile and say, you know this, but just for the record, you guys aren't responding to me. You're responding to God. The Bible's very clear that no one can basically repent. In other words, no one can change unless the Spirit of God draws him. He brings that about. So the fact that you're standing is proof that God has drawn you. If God draws you, he changes the atmosphere around you when you respond to the draw. That was one of our points. So God's about to change. The atmosphere here is your heart, your life, your home. Let's all pray. If you're right now, let's pray a prayer of fresh consecration, Lord. All of us together, and these wonderful ones that have stood with me. Let's say this together. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Repeat this after me. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess you, Lord of my life. I believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead. I thank you, Jesus,
for dying for me. I thank you, Jesus, that you've come for me. And I thank you today, Jesus, you've called my name. I repent of my sins. I turn away from anything that would hold me back from you. You love me, Jesus. You have forgiven me, Lord. And I want to express my love for you. And I do it through my commitment. And I commit my life to you, to serve you, honor you, bring fame to your name all my days. Lord, give me a new heart, new desires, and I declare today I'm a child of God. Come on, somebody just gave the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Can we get some people that will come stand with these? Get some people that will come pray with them. Stand with them. Come on, we get some guys and gals that will come stand. Turn and pray with them. Just take a minute and pray with them right now. Come on, some gals up here. And we got some people that are coming. We'll just pray for them. Just share with them. Is there something going on in your life they can pray with you about? Or something that you just want God to answer? We believe in a God that's alive. He answers prayers. He's here for you. You responded to a living God. That's the good thing. You didn't respond to a dead war hero. We're not commemorating a dead war. We're celebrating a risen king. So right now, just share with him and let him pray for you. You guys, close your eyes. Bow your heads just for a moment. Jesus, I welcome you, Lord. I welcome your presence. Welcome your presence to come fill this place, Lord. That God, you would receive glory, God. Lord, you would receive glory. I mean, my brother right there in the red shirt, the Lord just gave me this phrase for you, battlefield promotion. And it's like, you know, if you're in an army, you're stationed someplace, and all of a sudden you're required to do it. But all along, you recognize that God has you there, but as a new battle breaks out, you get promoted and you get kind of restationed. I'm not so much talking about geography, I don't know that. But I believe in the spirit, God is saying that your faithfulness and your loyalty in the midst of one battle has caused you to be promoted to greater authority, greater release of God, greater favor. And in the midst of it, you're going to see some change around you. Again, I'm not trying to declare what that change is. I don't know. I know in part, prophesy in part. But that you have a battlefield promotion. That's a good thing, by the way. That's a good word. Bible says, if you want to know what's going on, Bible tells about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of them is a gift of prophecy. Old time, I'm speaking, I'm looking at my brother, he's lighting up to me, L-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, lighting. And it's a way that God uses that when I look out, that he's signaling to me, he's doing something. So the whole while I'm speaking, I'm also dialoguing with God. What's going on? What's going on? And all of a sudden, just in that moment, the Lord gave me that phrase, battlefield promotion. So I believe that that word is for you. Does that mean something to you? Amen. Father, I just thank you for my brother, and I thank you for this thing of battlefield promotion. And Lord, I just feel like, God, it's like a reassignment with greater promotion, with greater authority. And a battle for promotion speaks of that literally that one battle will come to the end and he'll get a victory in that battle. No question. And the Lord, he's promoted to a place where the spoils will be greater. And Lord, how you want to bless him, what you want to release through him. And I really feel like there's an assignment. This assignment is a God thing. It's not just a business thing. I don't know what you do for a living, but it's a God assignment. It's like, it's going to involve ministry, that God's going to open up a door for you, open up a situation. And that God always, faithfulness always gets the increase, sir. And you've been faithful in something, and God is bringing increase to that. And increase here will mean favor, platform, opportunity. Favor, platform, opportunity. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Just hold tight for a minute. Close your eyes. Jesus, we just welcome you, God. I always like to wait on the Holy Spirit to see if he gives something. If he doesn't, we'll shut it down. We'll pray for folks. But if there's something else that he wants to do, I don't want to miss it. Holy Spirit, I just welcome you. I welcome you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just had this picture of someone, I think it's a male, that you've been having some chest pains, but it has to do with your heart. I just had this picture. Again, you may know this. If you do, it's going to apply to you even more. If not,
God is still touching the guy that's got chest pains and is over on your left-hand side. It seems like it affects your heart. I felt like there's been some problems with your artery, problem with your artery. You may know that. That may be something God, you've been to a doctor and a doctor showed you that, and maybe something God's showing me, and that there's been some sort of problem with the artery that's affecting, so it's causing you to have chest pains, but it's really an artery condition. And I don't know if you've got a buildup in an artery or something's going on, or the artery's just not functioning right, but there's a guy here that's been having chest pains, and it's become more severe. You're recognizing it's not just, seemed like you may have initially thought it was like, I'm eating something funny, I'm getting heartburn. But as this thing's continued, you recognize this is not just about eating funny, that you've been having these pains and it's been alarming you. Who is that guy that's had these chest pains? There's somebody, you're a male, and you've been having chest pains. It's over your left-hand side, but you're here. Everybody close your eyes. Right here, stand up. You know, Kurt, if you come over to my brother right here, place your hand right over his left side of his chest. Lord gave me a picture, and so I love when God gives me a picture. It's like Holy Ghost x-rays. Father, I just pray as Kurt's hand's right there. Kurt is experiencing a significant healing himself. Lord, a miraculous intervention in his life. He would not be here had it not happened. And so there's one miracle, laying hands on a brother that's receiving another miracle. We speak to his heart, and Lord, that picture of the artery, that picture of kind of some blockage or some buildup, something not functioning right, and there's been chest pains, it's becoming more severe. There's been like a frequency and an intensity, and the development of which has been alarming to my brother. Father, we just declare there's a healing being released. Take a deep breath, my friend. Here comes peace right now. Amazing peace right there. There it is right there. Father, in Jesus' name, the stress, the strain, the impact of this, even your sleep at night. Lord, you're releasing a miracle in my brother's heart where this pain is stopping, this burn. It's a burning pain, but it's a sharp burning pain. It stops, Lord. Your word says in Mark 16, these signs will follow them that believe, that in Jesus' name we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we just speak peace and release. You have an amazing testimony, young man. God has already, in a very legitimate way, saved your life. And this healing is just a part of that testimony he's been building. So, Father, we just declare, God, right now, the enemy had a plan in this. I really believe this, bro. It's being stopped right now. And I don't need to declare the enemy's plan. We know the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But we know God's job description. He's come that we may have life and life more abundantly. So we speak that abundant life, and we just declare right now, his heart is healed, healed. Centurion said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. My servant is there sick, but you speak the word, my servant is healed. He says, I say to one, come, he comes, go to, he goes. You just speak the word. Jesus said, I never found such great faith. I'm actually trying to instruct people on healing right now, as you're listening. What was the centurion articulating? In the natural, I'm a commander in chief, but I can acknowledge, Jesus, you're a commander in chief in the spirit realm. I say to a guy, go, he goes, come, and he comes, because I'm a commander in chief there. You're one in the spirit realm, as if to say, Jesus, you can say, sickness, go, healing, come, and it has to happen. That's why you don't have to come to my house. So right now, anybody can understand that, understands that healing can go to another level just with the word of the Lord. And God just gave my brother a word. So we say, sickness goes in his heart. Healing comes. And we acknowledge that Jesus is the commander in chief in the spirit realm. So manifest that healing right now. Healing right now. Everybody has back problems, stand up. I just feel like there's going to be some back healing. If you have any kind of back condition, back problem, spine condition, pain in your back, curvature in the back, disc problems, chronic pain in your back, you need healing in your back, stand up or lift your hand up if you're already up here. Who has, he needs healing in their back? Okay, lift your hand up, you need healing in your back. Now, come on, do we believe Jesus can do this? Amen. This, come on, this isn't, this is not a Sean show, I can't do this stuff, right? Jesus does this stuff. We get somebody around them, if you will put your hand on their back, and move their hand to the point where you feel the most pain. I just feel like there's something about, can we get people that will stand with these that believe, move their hand to that place. Wave your hand if you need healing, but nobody's come to you. Wave your hand. We're going to get to you. We need a brother to pray for him right here. All right. Now watch what happens. Now, I just want you to know, I didn't just arbitrarily feel like, I just want to pray for backs. I felt like the Lord called, he drew me. It's like, I recognize the fire in this. I'm drawing near the fire, taking off my shoes. It's holy ground. And that's how miracles happen. You recognize the fire of God in something. It's an invitation. You draw near that, it changes. Now, here is the territory now. It's going to go, it was a dusty desert wilderness to holy ground. Goes from sickness to healing when you recognize the draw of God. Word of knowledge is an invitation. It's a draw. I'm recognizing a fire. Some of you are going to feel that fire of God on your back. In fact, I feel like very pronounced healing fire on your back. My brother needs prayer too, so pray and lay hands on his back, right? You too, right? We need a brother to come lay hands on him. We got somebody believing healing a male. You guys aren't nervous in the service, right? You believe Jesus can do this? Because we're going to see miracles. I feel like the Lord put me here to build your expectation. Some of you kind of don't believe. It's kind of like a hit and miss. Well, sometimes I pray and it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. So I don't know. Hey, our job is to pray with expectation. His job is to heal. I can't do his job and he won't do mine. Right? He tells us to go pray for the sick. No. He tells us to go heal the sick. All right, watch what happens. Somebody's going to get healed right now. Somebody's got pain. Of those that are receiving prayer, how many of you, just before we start, you feel like significant pain? You would know if you got touched right now. Anybody would wave because we're going to come to you and ask you. Anybody like that? You feel your pain right now. Anybody? Well, that's good. You sat in the house of God. You don't feel your pain now. All right. Well, we're going to pray and whatever pain, good. You're going to be, awesome, sweetie. Come on. Put your hand in the air. Here we go. Father, you guys begin to pray. Father, you don't wait on me, but I'm going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we don't ask sickness to go. We command it. Father, your word says in Malachi, them that fear your name, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. Lord, we curse every spirit of infirmity. We speak to their back. We speak to muscles, ligaments, and tendons. All muscles, ligaments, and tendons, we command them to be lengthened and strengthened in Jesus' name. And God, we speak to the brainstem, the spinal column. We command it to be aligned and straightened in Jesus' name. And Lord, we declare that God, we're extension cords. We're plugged in to the power of God. And our other hand is placed upon this person's back. And we declare, and our power flows through. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're like the centurion. You don't even have to come to our house, even though you came. Lord, I say to this one, go, he goes, come, and he comes. And Jesus said, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel. Your servant is healed right now. This is that faith, that he is a commander-in-chief in the spirit realm. So we say right now to back pain. We say, back pain, go, in Jesus' name. Healing, come. In Jesus' name. And we just declare healing. Now place your hand on their back right now. Put your hand. Let there be contact. And on three, I just want you to say, be made whole. We'll say it together. Get ready. One, two, three. Be made whole. Now only with your mouth begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The shalom of God touches your back. My sister right there. The shalom of God touches her back. Shalom of God. That's peace. Now, right now, now receive it. Just you thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for that touch. Now, all of you that have been prayed for, if it's something you could check right now. Just turn your back, bend over, do something like that you would know right now. What's going on? And I want to talk to my sister. What are you feeling? It doesn't hurt. Come on, somebody. Now, you got to look at her face. Everybody turn and look at her. Turn and let people see your face. Does that look like somebody that really got touched by God? Come on. Anybody else? As you turn, how many of you felt the fire? I just felt like God said somebody was going to feel fire in their back, like a warmth. Who felt warmth? Somebody did. I know somebody did. Right there. Come on. Awesome. Come on. All right. Wednesday night, right here, I want to do some training on miracles. So if you could come Wednesday night, is that open to anyone, guys and gals? We're going right here, 7:30. Anybody? I want to do some equipping on healing and receiving words of knowledge. I really feel like that's part of why I'm here. So I want to unload, and then if we got time, question and answers. So it's like a free healing signs and wonders conference. Don't miss Wednesday at 7:30 if you can come. Okay, that's one part. Second part, let me get the prayer team to come up here real quick.